It's great to be with all of you worshiping the Lord this morning. Preaching is a very weighty thing, and please join me as we go to the Lord and ask for His help. Lord, I thank You so much for Your Son. I thank You, Lord, so much for Your Word. Lord, I ask for Your help this morning as we share Your Word. Lord, I thank You that we're able to participate in the Lord's Supper together as a church. I thank You, Lord, for the testimonies that we heard of Your faithfulness and that You are always faithful, Lord, and that we can trust You. I thank You, Lord, that we are blessed to welcome a new member today, Lord, and other new members who have joined us recently. And I pray, Lord, that You continue to be with Pastor Randy and his family on sabbatical, Lord, that they find rest in You during this time, and that we, Lord, as a church, continue to be faithful to You during this time. Again, I pray, Lord, that You help me to preach Your word, for I'm unworthy to do so without You, and just unworthy to do so, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You stir our hearts to confess our sins to You alone, and that because of it, Lord, that we may be filled with unspeakable joy for today and forevermore. Please, Jesus, in Your name we pray. Amen. Ponder for a moment your sin, the depth of your sin, the gravity of your sin, the guilt, the pain, and the damage that it causes, sin. And then ponder, not just for a moment, but just ponder for those who are followers of Christ, the value of our eternal pardon from the penalty of that very sin. Think about it. Pardoned for eternity. How much that does that make our hearts leap for joy? And I pray this morning, as we think deeply about our eternal pardon, that we think long and we think hard about it, that our affection for Christ grows all the more, that our affection for Christ all the more, that it far surpasses our affections for anything or anyone in this world, that our hearts leap for joy higher and higher when we think about Christ, and higher with joy than when we think about anything else. Those of you who have heard me preach before, preach once in a while, you know it's coming. We're going to start with a story. So once upon a time, there was a little boy, and his name was Ungamunga. And Ungamunga had a sister named Jennifer. And one day, Ungamunga asked his dad, "Dad, when I pray, I have a hard time thinking of what to pray for. Do you have any hints that can help me with that?" Well, Ungamunga said, "There is something that I can suggest to help you pray." "What is it, Dad?" said Ungamunga. "I really want to learn." "Well, what you can do is pray through the Bible. You can let the words of Scripture be the words of your prayers. To praise God, to thank God, to remind us of God's promises, to remind us of God's faithfulness, and to build our trust in Him, and to learn how to live according to His word. And also to remind us that when we fail, and we will fail, that we can confess our sins to God, and He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. I don't understand that. How do I pray through the Bible? Well, let's say that we're praying through Psalm 23, and we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We can praise God for being our shepherd in our prayer. We can ask Him to shepherd our families, to guide our families and protect and provide for them. We can pray to God that He makes our families His sheep, and that we look to Him as our shepherd, and that we follow Him, and that we make our decisions according to His wisdom. We can ask Him to shepherd our hearts. And then when we're done and nothing else comes to mind about that verse, we go on to the next verse and we continue to pray. And then keep on praying until you either run out of verses or you run out of time. But the Bible is a big book, Dad. What scripture should I pray? Well, one method that works really well is to pray through the book of Psalms. You see, son, the book of Psalms is God's book of praises. It's the songbook of Israel. And what you can do is pray one of the five Psalms of the day. I don't get it. What are the five Psalms of the day? Well, what you do, and this is the math part, and those of you who know me know I love math, so this is my favorite part. This is 150 psalms that you can divide by five. So divide by five psalms per day for each of the 30 days in the month. I don't understand, said Ungamunga. Well, let's look at an example. Let's say today is the first of the month. So we start with Psalm 1. And then we add 30 to that and 30 to that. So we start with Psalm 1. Then we add 30 to get Psalm 31. Then we add 30 again, and we get Psalm 61 and 91 and 121. And that gives us the five Psalms of the day for the first of the month. Psalm 1, 31, 61, 91, and 121. So Ungamunga, let's have you try one. How about if today was August 15th? What would the five Psalms of the day be for that date? Let me think, said Ungamunga. Okay, you said it's the 15th, so we start with Psalm 15. And then we add 30. So that gets to 45, and then 75, and 105, and 135. I think I got it, said Ungamunga. The five Psalms of the day for the 15th of the month will be Psalm 15, 45, 75, 105, and 135. That's right, said Dad. You're getting it. But wait a minute, said Ungamunga. What about the months that have 31 days? Wouldn't it be just like doing most of the same psalms as for the first? Good thinking, said Dad. Well, on the 31st, what you can do is you can add Psalm 119 to the list, or you can just pray through Psalm 119. I forget, Dad. Are we praying through all five psalms for that day? No, Ungamunga, not all five. Take a few minutes to quickly look through the five psalms of the day and then just choose one to pray through. And remember, pray through other scripture as well. Thanks, Dad. I think I'll be able to pray more effectively now. More of this story? For the next few weeks, the men who are preaching will be preaching through a chapter in the book of Psalms. And we'll be using the Psalms of the day. So today is the 2nd of August. And so we could have chosen from Psalm 2, 32, 62, 92, or 122. And as we've already read, we'll be preaching through Psalm 32 this morning. There are 4 points in today's sermon. Point number 1, you know what you did. You know what you did. Point number 2, no place to hide. No place to hide. Point number 3, agree with and trust God. Agree with and trust God. And point number 4, unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. One day, Unga Munga and Jennifer were sitting with Mom in Mom and Dad's room. And they asked Mom to please show them Dad's most valuable possession, because they love to hear the story of how Dad got it and how much he loved it. And they love seeing that special box when it was pulled out. So Mom got the special box from Dad's closet and began to tell them the story about Dad's most precious item. How he loved this item so much that he kept it well protected in a special box, in a special place, so it wouldn't be lost, stolen, or damaged. How he won it at a special event in college, and that he kept it ever since. "Do you want to see it now?" their mom asked. "Yes, yes," he said excitedly. And so Mom slowly put it out of the box. It was a University of Hawaii football jersey. "Remember," Mom said, "Dad said it's okay to show you his precious jersey when you're here and when one of us is here, but he doesn't want you looking at it when we're not here, because it has to stay in perfect condition." A few weeks later, Unga Munga was talking with his friends, and they started to brag about things that they had. And Unga Munga told them that he had this special University of Hawaii football jersey, and his friends didn't believe him, because everybody knows a University of Hawaii football jersey is one of the most precious things you could ever have. So Unga Munga snuck in his parents' room, and he took the jersey from the box, and he put the box back. He put the jersey in his backpack to show his friends at school. And when he got to school, he bragged about it and said, "See, I have the jersey." One of his friends grabbed it, and they started to play takeaway, throwing it back and forth over Unga Munga's head. Unga Munga ran from one friend to another as they tossed it. "Please, please," he said, "give me that jersey back. My dad's going to get so mad." Finally, somebody missed it, and it landed on the ground. So Unga Munga ran, and he grabbed it, just as one of his friends grabbed it, and rip, it tore. A big gash. "Oh no," said Unga Munga. "What am I going to do? My dad's precious jersey is ruined." All day at school, Unga Munga couldn't concentrate. Finally, he thought of a plan. "Mom and Dad usually only pulled out the jersey when we asked to see it. What if I sneak the jersey back in the box and we never ask Mom and Dad to see it again?" No one's gonna know. It's the perfect plan. Or so he thought. But that night when he went home, he had a hard time sleeping. He knew what he did. He knew he did something terribly wrong. And though his dad didn't know the jersey was ruined, he knew it. Unga Munga knew it. And he knew that God knew it too. The next day, Ungamunga had a hard time eating breakfast. There's no way that he could fix Dad's most valuable possession, and it was his fault. And he felt guiltier and guiltier. After a few weeks, Ungamunga was even in more distress, and he couldn't take it any longer. He had to confess to his dad, but he was so scared. Dad, yes, Ungamunga, you know your football jersey? Yes, my favorite jersey? Do you want to see it again? I'll go and get it for you. Actually, Dad, no. I'm sorry. I ruined it. I snuck and I brought it to school and it got ripped. I can't fix it, said Ungamunga. But I'll do anything, Dad. Please, please. I'm such a terrible son. Ungamunga, the dad said, what you did was very wrong. And you deserve a severe punishment. You were told not to touch the jersey unless mom or dad was there, and you're disobedient. But Ungamunga, before we get to the punishment, do you remember the other day we talked about praying through the scriptures? Yes, Dad, I do. Well, today is August 2nd, and one of the Psalms of the day is Psalm 32. And I think this psalm will really help us in this situation. Do you want to go through it with me now? Yes, Dad, I do. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. What is God saying in his words in verses 1 and 2? Well, Dad, I think he's saying that if your sins are forgiven, you're blessed. But what does that mean, Dad? Well, King David wrote many of the Psalms. And David, in writing this psalm, was remembering a great sin that he did. And he rejoiced that God forgave him of his sin after he confessed his sin to God. When the Bible says blessed in these verses, it means happy. But it's also plural. So it's like being extra happy. Think about bundles of happiness or being doubly joyful. Well, I'd like to have bundles of happiness now, thought Ungamunga. All I can think of is the severe punishment that Dad said I'm going to get. Ungamunga, is there something that you can think about to pray to God about in these verses? Yes, Dad. I pray to God that I can get extra happy, because I'm still feeling really junk and really scared right now. Ungamunga, we should all feel that way when we sin. When we do something that God prohibits, or when we fall short of God's standards, the Bible says we're condemned and we're guilty before a holy God. And the Bible also says that we're deserving of eternal punishment for our crimes against God. But Dad, how come David said he's happy if he's guilty? That's because God forgave him. You see, when God forgives our sin, the sins are totally covered and forgiven forever, with no work and no payment on our part. The work was already done by Jesus on the cross. I don't know if I understand, said Ungamunga. You see, when David uses the word forgiven, it means to be carried off or to be taken away, like a burden taken away. So our sin is a burden which God himself, through Christ, bore for us. And because Christ bore that burden for us, it's taken away, and there's no more burden of sin when we trust in Christ. Do you remember when we read about the scapegoat? The high priest would select a goat. He would lay his hands on that goat and confess the sins of the people So ceremonially, the sins of the people would go from the people onto the goat. And then the animal was sent away into the wilderness. And it's a picture of what God is doing. He's carrying or taking their sins away from himself. He's forgiving them. And when David says in the psalm that our sins are covered, he's saying, again, like the scapegoat, that our sins are put out of his sight. If we're in Christ, our sins are covered by his blood. But how about when he says he counts no iniquity or he imputes no iniquity? What does that mean, said Ungamunga? What that means is that our sins are not counted or not charged to our account. If we trust Christ, he already, or he is the only acceptable payment for the penalty of our sin. And now we're declared not guilty. It's not charged to our account. I get it, said Ungamunga. If I know that God has pardoned me, then I can have bundles of joy and joy upon joy. That's right, Ungamunga. Let's continue. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Though my groaning all day long, from day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. What do you think that means, Ungamunga? What is God saying? Sounds like David's in pain. That's really good. That's right, Ungamunga. You see, David's sin was so great and it bothered him so much that he was in extreme physical and emotional pain because of that guilt. Do you remember that we've talked about how each of us has an inner person and an outer person, and that what we feel on the inside affects us on the outside? That's right, said Ungamunga. That sounds like my stomach was so sore and I couldn't sleep every time I thought about what I did. You see, Ungamunga, God's hand is very helpful when it lifts us up, but it's awful when it presses down on us. The sap of David's soul was dried, like water evaporating on a hot, sunny summer day, like being in a spiritual drought. His guilt was so great, and so long did he have that guilt, that eventually, the scripture says, his voice was no longer like the speech of a man, but full of sighing and groaning, resembling the sounds of a wounded beast. I acknowledge my sin to you, and it did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. It got better, right? When David confessed his sin. Is it like when a criminal confesses? Well, not quite, said Dad. You see, when we confess to God, what the Bible is saying is we're agreeing with God. When we feel like we have no place to hide, and we agree with God about who he is, and we agree with God about what our sin is, that's confessing. And it benefits us, and it benefits our hearts. Right? To think that we can hide our sin is useless. In fact, hiding our sin is harmful to our souls. We know what we did, and there's no place to hide it, and God already knows it. We can hide our sins from others, and we can try to even hide our sins from ourselves, but we can't hide them from God. Did you notice, Ungamunga, that when David confessed, he confessed his sins to the Lord? Not to the priest, not to other people, but he confessed it to God. For it's God alone through Christ that can deliver us. It's God alone through Christ that can forgive us for the penalty and the burden of our sin. And through that, we pray that God have mercy on our souls and gives us freedom in Christ. That is like me, said Unga Munga. When I tried to hide the ripped jersey, even though no one saw it, it still made me feel horrible. But when I confessed it to you, I started to feel better. Wait, you said that David confessed his sin to God. Does that mean I should do that too? Yes, Unga Munga. I believe that David and Scripture is encouraging us to do the same thing and to confess our sins to God. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. David is encouraging us to pray, and God is encouraging us to pray and confess our sins when there is still time to be forgiven. If we remain in rebellion to God, eventually it will be too late. Do you remember when we learned about Noah and the ark? Once the door to the ark was shut, it was too late for anyone to enter. And the floodwaters came, and no one else could come in. God is encouraging us to pray and confess to him before the rising waters come. God says that he is our hiding place. Do you remember the hurricane that was coming last week? What if you're up on the mountain and the hurricane were about to come and you're out in the open? Would you be scared? I would be really scared, said Unga Munga, if I was in a hurricane and there wasn't any shelter. Now imagine if there was a large, safe shelter nearby. What would you do? I would run to the shelter, said Unga Munga. That's right. And that's what David is talking about here. If you saw the shelter and you just stayed where you were, that shelter would still be a hiding place. But only when you ran to it and when you found shelter there would it become your hiding place. It only becomes your hiding place when you find shelter in it. If you didn't go into that shelter for safety, it may have protected hundreds of others. But for you, it would be as if it never existed because you didn't go there. Please, Unga Munga, let God be your hiding place. I get it, said Unga Munga. When I sin, I shouldn't run from God. I should run to him. You do see it, Unga Munga. Do you see now? In verse 4, David was pressed down by the presence of God. But once he confessed his sin and found shelter in him, now God is his hiding place and protects him through the storms of life. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle. Whenever I mispronounce words, I always let people know I graduated from Kamiki High School. So please excuse me. Sorry, Kamiki High School, but I really did graduate from there. Which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Who do you think is speaking now in these verses, Unga Munga? Is it still David? Well, actually, most believe that in these verses, it's now God speaking to David and to us. God is telling David that he will show him how to live his daily life, and that God will keep his loving eye watching over David's life and our lives as well. I would like that, said Ungamunga. I pray that I can follow God's instructions for living, and I pray that God keep his loving eye on my life. You see, Ungamunga, we're not pardoned from the penalty of our sin so that we may then live our life as our own and live after our own desires. We're pardoned so that we may live for Christ and live for God. And he will educate us in holiness, and he will train us for good works. And God also warns us to not be like a horse or mule that has no sense, or an animal that has no sense. We should stay near to God and follow his word in his counsel. And we also need to be wise about who is maybe putting a bridle and a bit on us to control us. You see, a horse or mule doesn't know who's riding them, doesn't know who's controlling them and telling them where to go. God says, don't have no sense. Let him be the one that leads us. Let him be the one that gives us the wisdom to live our lives. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all of you upright in heart. Dad, I pray that the wicked realize that the only way they can be happy is by following God. And Dad, I thank God that he surrounds us with his love. That's a really good prayer, Ungamunga. When we pray scripture, we don't just read the words, but we take the words to heart, and we ask God through the power of his Holy Spirit to help us to live them daily. You know, sometimes people think that those who don't follow Christ have it better. And sometimes we get envious of them. Just know God's word is true. The wicked is not something or someone to be envious of. Although they may seem sometimes to have a better life, their joys will quickly fade away. Life here on earth is but a vapor, and their eternal sorrows are multiplying. No one can mock God. You will reap what you sow. Ungamunga, I do pray for the souls of others, and I pray that we love them as Christ loves them. That we know that the portion of the one who trusts God is God's unfailing love forever. And knowing that, and knowing that our sins are forgiven, we have peace, and we have unspeakable joy, even through sorrow, and even through life's most troublesome times. See, Ungamunga, for those who trust in Christ, and those that belong to God, they can shout and sing a never-ending sound of joy, because they understand what they've been forgiven of. They understand it's a gift of God, and that they have the guaranteed future hope of eternity with Christ. Hey, Dad. Yes, Ungamunga. I just prayed that God forgive me for disobeying you and for taking the jersey to school. And I do feel that a burden has been lifted off of me. I trust that God has forgiven me because of Christ's sacrifice. And I want to keep following him. Hey, Dad. Yes, Ungamunga. Will you forgive me? Of course, Ungamunga. Yes, that jersey is my most valued possession. But you're more important to me than any possession. And because Christ has forgiven me of my sins, I definitely am willing to forgive you. And now every time I see that ripped jersey, it will remind me of my own sin and how thankful I am for Christ and for God's forgiveness of me. Thanks, Dad. I really do have bundles of happiness now. I love you. I love you too, Ungamungo. Church, ponder for a moment our sin. We call sin, sin. We don't explain it away as a result of growing up in this modern society. We don't explain it away as it's because I come from a dysfunctional family. We don't excuse it as a weakness or just human nature. Sin is serious. When I sin, it harms the name and it harms the reputation of Christ. My sin causes breaks in my relationship with God and my relationship with others. My sin causes damages to those around me. My sin put Jesus on the cross, God's only Son. And when we sorrow over our sin and pray to God, Lord, against you and you alone I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, and you are right in your verdict, and your judgment against me is just. And we cry out to God, please, Lord, please, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. We confess our own sins to God. We don't need to confess the sins of our neighbor or the sins of our fellow church members. We confess our own sins. 1 John says, to claim that we have no sin is self-deception. We all sin. But as a believer and a follower of Christ, we see that confess sin as forgiven, and no sin is too great to be forgiven. The blood of Christ has fully satisfied the demand that God has for righteousness and fully satisfied the penalty for our sin. And we rest, we trust in the promise of God in 1 John 1:19 that as believers, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is spiritual garbage. Confessing sin is like taking out that garbage. And so we want to do it regularly before the garbage builds up and before the garbage gets bigger and stinkier and harder to take out. So let us ponder for a moment our sin, the depth of it, the gravity of it, the guilt of it, the pain of it, and the damage that our sin causes. And let us ponder, not for a moment, but for our entire lives, that those of us who are followers of Christ, the value of our eternal pardon in Christ. Pardon for the penalty of sin for eternity. Let our hearts leap for joy as we think about that pardon. Let's sing of our Redeemer and His wondrous love today and forevermore. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we, as your people, have hearts that leap for joy because of that pardon we have in Christ. I pray, Lord, that as your people, that when we sin, we confess our sin to you, that we agree with you about our sin, and that we trust that you forgive us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we live our lives for you because you have given us our lives. You have given us over from spiritual death to spiritual life, from bondage to sin to freedom in Christ. Please, Lord, help us to do that. And please, Lord, if there are those here today that don't yet trust in you, that you call them to yourself, Lord, so that their burdens may be lifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.